We're also following events overseas today, including a big vote in Japan. The country's lower house of parliament has approved a new security bill to change the constitution and allow Japanese troops to serve overseas for the first time since World War II. Thousands protested that vote in the streets of Tokyo, and some members of parliament walked out in protest. Shihoko Goto is senior Northeast Asia associate at the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars. She's with us from Washington. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
And before we get into what happened today, can you take us back and remind us why Japan has this provision in its constitution that there be a pacifist military?
Right. Well, this constitution was effectively written by the United States. Japan, as you know, was defeated by the United States and its allies after World War II. The constitution, Article 9, specifically states that Japan will remain a pacifist country because and also renounce war as a tool to resolve conflict. This has been good for Japan insofar as there have been no war casualties since 1945. And the Japanese are very proud of it. And despite the fact that it was imposed by the United States, Article 9 is something that most Japanese really want to preserve.
So why make this change now?
Really, in a nutshell, to face the new realities of the region and indeed the world. As you know, in Asia, there is a lot of change going on, not least the rapid militarization of China, but also greater nuclear capabilities from North Korea. At the same time, the Japanese have been able to preserve its security through an alliance with the United States. The United States is being pulled in many directions, not just in Asia, but also in the Middle East and beyond. Given those realities, it is seen by many Japanese politicians in particular that Japan really needs to pull its own weight and that it needs to really do more to ensure its own peace and stability within its own borders, but also outside it.
Well, and in this legislation, we should say it is quite restrictive about what Japan's military will be able to do or what situations would allow the military to act.
Right. The key operative word here is collective self-defense. So it allows Japan to actually be part of a coalition of willing countries to take action against what they deem as enemy states. So it isn't going to be a unilateral Japan's going to declare a war on country X. It does need to go through many, many hurdles for Japan to actually be able to engage militarily. One of the concerns, though, is that what exactly that collective self-defense means. Many are worried that Japan will be forced to take part in wars that it doesn't really want to be part of. So that is one of the biggest concerns that the Japanese public has.
Because someone in the Japanese government would decide that something threatens Japan when others could say that's not a threat to us.
Right. Take, for example, the war against Iraq. It was very unpopular in Japan. It was very controversial in the United States. There's concern in Japan that if this were to happen now, that Japan would be forced to take sides with the United States.
Now, as you say, there is a lot of opposition to this in Japan. Not everybody thinks this is the way that Japan should go. The BBC spoke to one of the demonstrators who was in the streets today protesting this. Let's listen.
The new security bill is against the Japanese constitution or Article 9. And Prime Minister Abe don't understand the Japanese constitution or constitutionalism. So this is the danger of the democracy, Japanese democracy.
There is also opposition, not surprisingly, coming from China.
Right. The two immediate neighbors of Japan, China as well as South Korea, are very concerned about this. That really goes back to the legacy of World War II. Japan was an occupying force of both China as well as Korea. Regarding China, given that China is rapidly militarizing, it does seem a bit ironic that China is stating that Japan is increasingly being militarized when it itself is spending much more on defense purposes too. When it comes to Korea, though, it does become a very tricky situation from a Washington perspective, because for the United States, both Japan and Korea are critical partners to ensure security in the region.
Right.
And so when you do, and so the best defense for the United States and the region is to have good relations between both Japan and Korea, and so that you have this trilateral defense system in the region. Now, when Korea is opposed to Japan for a number of reasons, that becomes more difficult for Washington to pursue.
That's Yohoko Goto, who is a senior associate in Northeast Asia at the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars in Washington. Yohoko, thank you.
Thank you very much.